All right. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We're going to get into a series starting today on stewardship. Stewardship. This is Missions Emphasis Month, and so we're actually moving Missions Emphasis Month, and so we're going to give a little bit about stewardship, a way of life. And we're going to start out here in Matthew chapter 24. So as you're turning there, there was three men. They were talking about giving. And so the one man said, this is how I give. He goes, I draw a circle on the ground and I throw all my money up. And whatever lands inside the circle, that's what I give to God. Well, the second man said, well, I too draw a circle and I throw all my money up. And he said, whatever lands outside of the circle, that's what I give to God. Well, the third man said, well, I don't draw a circle at all. He said, I just throw the money straight up in the air as high as I can, and whatever God wants, he keeps. And so sometimes that's our giving. Whatever God wants, he's going to take from us. And so that's not the idea. And so what I want to do is I want to give you a biblical perspective of stewardship. Because most of the time when people think of stewardship, they think of money. That's the only thing that comes to mind when you think of stewardship. And stewardship has so much more involved in it than just money. Someone once said, stewardship is what a man does when he says, I believe. Stewardship is what a man does when he says, I believe. But it's far more than that. We think of stewardship, we often think of matters of money and giving, and I have to give to the church, and it's all about the money, the tithes and the offerings. And that's an important aspect of stewardship. But listen, it's secondary. It's secondary. Stewardship, now get this, stewardship is a reflection of our relationship with God. Stewardship is a reflection of our relationship with God. Pastor Bob Grove said that stewardship is the way I handle those things in my life that God has given me. The management of my God-given resources for His glory, for His honor, and for the good of others. Stewardship is a reflection of my relationship to God, my Father, and my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only is that stewardship given to the saved, but also to the unsaved. It's not just for the believer. God gives stewardship to the unbeliever as well. Everybody is included. Listen to what Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 and 13 says. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works. By the things which are written in the books, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each according to their works. Saved and unsaved one day will be judged according to what they have been given. God has given everybody something. And we're stewards of what God has given us. And so everybody will be judged. Not just the saved, but the lost as well. Matter of fact, when it comes to things that we'll have to give an account for, as a stewardship, we talk about money, but stewardship is so much more. Listen, we'll have to give an account for our thoughts. You understand that? Jesus said in Luke 8:17, he said, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. We'll have to give an account for all these things that are even the things in our minds. This was the parable of the lamp. In Romans chapter 2, 14 and 16, Paul says this. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are the law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts, accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Everybody is a steward of their thoughts. And so one day we'll have to give an account for the thoughts that we have. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, that we're to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Because we're going to have to give an account for all our thoughts. Not only our thoughts, but our words. This one's scary. Listen to this. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 36 and 37, he said, but I say to you that every idle word that men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. By our words, we're going to have to give an account. We have an account of what we say every day. Your mom ever tell you, if you ain't got something nice to say about somebody, don't say it? You ought to remember that, because we're going to have to give an account for every word that we speak. Idle words is useless. Useless words. Idle words. Nothing. Vain. Empty. It's kind of like taking the Lord's name in vain. OMG. Well, there's no use in saying that. There's no use in saying it. So these idle words that we speak that have no sense, we'll have to give an account one day. Saved, unsaved, doesn't matter. Everything that is done. And so our actions as well. We're stewards of our actions. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 27, he said, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." People are going to be judged according to what they have done. What they have done. We are stewards of so much more than just finances. It's not just about finances. Someday everyone will give an account for what we have done with what God has literally given to us. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says that, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." Now, in the Greek English dictionary of the New Testament, the word "required" there has the idea of demanded or expected. And so it gives a different idea. So if you were to take that verse and say it this way, "Moreover, it is demanded or it is expected in stewards that one be found faithful." You know, it has a different idea than most people portray today. They think, well, it's just a suggestion. God just suggests. He wants us to be faithful. He's expecting us to be faithful. It's kind of like prayer. The Bible doesn't really talk about praying. Jesus says when you pray. He just assumes you're going to pray. That's something very important. It's our communication to God. He just assumes that you're going to pray. So just because it's not in there doesn't mean it's not in there. Do you get that? All right. Some of you guys are sleeping out there. That's all right. All right. So it holds a different light in there. So in the text today, Jesus is teaching that every person in the world holds his life, his natural abilities, his wealth, his time, his possessions, everything in trust from God as one who has to give an account of how we use all of those things. Why? Because God owns it all. God owns every bit of it. And Genesis 1:1, it's an all-familiar verse. You don't have to put it up there. Everybody knows it. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything into existence by just speaking it into existence. So if God created it all, he what? Owns it all. Absolutely. He owns every bit of it. If you create something, you're the creator of it. And you would say that you own it. But God created everything in the universe. And he owns it all. Because he created out of nothing. And so, Jay Fleury pointed out that some get upset when pastors talk about money. And so, rightfully so, because people think it's theirs. Jesus talked much about money. Matter of fact, 16 of the 38 parables were concerned on how to handle money and possessions. It's amazing that in the Gospels, one out of 10 verses deal directly with the subject of money. The Bible speaks of over 500 verses on prayer, and it speaks a little less than 500 verses on faith. But there's more than 2,000 verses that speak about money and possessions. Wow, that's amazing. Some say that if you dedicate the heart, the money will follow. But the Lord Jesus said it the opposite way. Matter of fact, in Luke 12:34, he said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If your treasure is dedicated, then your heart will be dedicated as well. If your treasure is not dedicated, then neither will your heart. It's as simple as that. So when it comes to stewardship, we need to treasure it. We need to treasure it so much that our heart follows it. All right, let's get into our text here in Matthew chapter 24. We're talking about the two servants, starting in verse 45. Matthew 24, starting in verse 45. Says this, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, The master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is coming a day when we will have no more time to do what God asks us to do. When our stewardship of every resource God has given us will be over. And then that day will be judgment. Because everything that we do in this life is what we're going to be judged by. And when death calls comes to call upon us, or the rapture of the church happens, we will be gone and we will have no more time to work here for the Lord. And so everything that based of what we were done will be given account for. Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We come together to hear from your word, to be trained and edified, to be equipped, to have a sense of time. You're not in time, you're outside of time, but we are in time. And so we need to understand, we need to be doing your work. Life isn't just about what we want. It's about stewardship. You give us not only our finances, but you give us time, you give us talents, you give us love. You've given us so many things that we're stewards over. And so, Lord, may that word stewardship not just be about money. May it be about so much more that our lives would exemplify that. God, I know your presence is here, but I just pray, God, that we'd be able to feel your presence. We'd be able to know that you're speaking to us in our hearts and our minds. We pray, God, that we would just empty ourselves of anything worldly, that we could just focus on you and your word at this moment. And so I just pray, God, that you have your way, and it's in Christ's name that I ask. Amen. Okay, so let's get into it. So we're talking about stewardship, and so as Don Vino said, we need to define the terms, all right? So let's define the terms. Number one, we're going to define stewardship. What is stewardship? Well, there's two Greek words that encompass the meaning of stewardship, where we get our English word stewardship. The first word is epitropos, all right? Epitropos, it has the meaning from the Greek manager or a foreman or a steward. And so when it comes to the standpoint of government, it means a governor or a procurator. And sometimes that word epitropos is translated to mean a guardian, as Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, where he says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father." That word guardian there means is the Greek word epitropos. And so that's where we get our English word steward. It also means guardian. It also means manager, foreman. And so you have to take the Bible in context. So one is guardian and the other word here is steward. And so that's a different word. And that's the one I want to talk about. It takes me to the second word. The second word there, steward, comes from the Greek word oikonomos. Oikonomos. And that word simply means a steward, a manager, or an administrator. Same type of word. It occurs more frequently in the New Testament, depending on the context, and it's often translated dispensation, stewardship, management, arrangement, administrator, order, plan, or training. And it refers mostly to the law. Listen, it refers mostly to the law and management of the household, and household affairs. This word oikonomos comes from the root word oikos. Anybody heard that word oikos? I hope so, because advertisers use that for advertising to get into your brain. How many of you ever said, "Hey, hand me a Kleenex"? Okay, it's a facial tissue. They use that because they get into your brain. They say, "Hand me a Kleenex." So when you need facial tissues at the store, you can go and get Kleenex and you got that brand name in your head. Kleenex is a brand name, and so is oikos. Oikos is from the Greek word which simply means household. All right? So we are of the household of God. We are of the oikos of God. So they want to advertise this stuff so they can get you into your head so that when you go home and you want some yogurt, the first one you'll think of is oikos. That's kind of amazing how they do that. And so, well, that reminds me of ice cream. That's getting me hungry now. All right, next slide. Move on. All right. So we talk about that. Let me define this. Those are the Greek words, talks about management and so forth. Let me just give you the simplified version, from the Dan Zetiker Dictionary. Stewardship is making good use of, it's taking proper care of somebody else's stuff. You're managing somebody else's household. And so as far as our stewardship, spiritually speaking, everything belongs to God and His household. So what are we doing? We're just taking care of our Father's stuff. Right? As stewards. It encompasses much more than just money. See, in verse 45 in our text, he says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler of his household?" Oikos, oikonomos. It's talking about the household. It's somebody being put in charge of somebody else's household. And he talks about feeding them in due season. Somebody that's going to come in like a nanny, if you get the idea. I mean, that's kind of a bad picture, but it's somebody that comes in, it's going to feed the kids, it's going to take care of the house, make sure it's clean, make sure the laundry's done, make sure everything is fixed. If something breaks down, you're taking care of the owner of the house's household stuff. Everything that belongs to him, you're taking care of. And that's the idea. That's stewardship. Basically, you're taking care of somebody else's stuff. But you don't own it. It belongs to the master. That's what stewardship means. So secondly, we have to come up with who the owner is. Secondly, we have to find out who the owner is. So, in verse 45, he says, his master made him ruler over his household. So the question is, who's the master? That's the bigger question. Who is the master? When it comes to stewardship, you are steward of somebody else's stuff. So if it's somebody else's, then somebody else has to be the master. So the question is, who is the master? Who is the master? Adolf Menon said that there is no portion of our time that is our time, and the rest God's. There's no portion of our money that is our money, and the rest of it is God's. It's all His. He made it all. He gave it all. And He has simply trusted it to us for His service. A servant has two purses, the master and his own. But we only have one purse. We're to use everything as if it belongs to God. Because the truth is, it does. It's amazing that you and I are mere stewards of what God has given us. Do you know there is not one amount of money that I give to God that I'll have to give an account for? The only one I'll have to give an account for is what I keep. Do you understand that? Because I'm still stewards of His finances. A lot of issues might not be a big deal in Scripture, but when it comes down to it, is that a good stewardship of what God has given you? It may not be in Scripture and it may not be something wrong, but it has to come down to whether or not it's good stewardship. Good stewardship. And we're not going to get into it, but let me just give you this. Simple enough. And like I said, we're not going to get into this. Tattoo. May not be nothing wrong with it. But here's the idea. If it's going to cost you $1,500 and there's nothing wrong in Scripture with it, I would suggest that you stop and think if that's good stewardship of God's finances. I mean, there is a point where you have to stop and think about some of this stuff, because we're not in control of God's money. We're in control of God's money. It's not ours. We don't own it. So we have to look at the ownership of who actually owns it. John Wesley said that when the possessor of heaven and earth brought you into being and placed you in this world, He placed you here not as an owner but as a steward. And as such, He entrusted you for a season with goods of various kinds for the sole property of these things that are His, so that you can be a steward over, as you're not your own, as you were bought with a price as well. And so we're to enjoy His stuff, but we're to take care of it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, "For you're bought with a price." He said, "You are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We're not even our own. Our bodies aren't even our own. They belong to God. So Wolverdenzuck says this, listen, they say, "Anyone who says God is their master, yet does whatever they want with God's stuff, is a hypocrite and an unfaithful servant or steward." That's amazing. Stop and think about that for a minute. They said that anyone that says God is their master, yet they do whatever they want with God's stuff, they're a hypocrite and an unfaithful steward. So, Paul realized this. Matter of fact, he revolved his whole life around stewardship. And I'm not just talking about money. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 9:17. He says, "For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, hey, I've been entrusted with a stewardship." What's the stewardship he's talking about? He's talking about preaching the gospel. Do you understand we have a stewardship of preaching the gospel to every person? That's been entrusted to us. He says in Ephesians 3:2, he says, "If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you." Do you remember that? Remember that word, oikonomos? It also meant dispensation. So if you put that translation in there, you find out that he says, "If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God," that's the same thing. And yes, it fits in there. We are stewards of God's grace. We're not to be sponges and just absorb it. Or if you want to look at it that way, yeah, we can be a sponge, but eventually you need to be wrung out and poured out on somebody else. It's not ours to keep for us. We didn't make it. God gave it to us, and it's up to us to pour it out on other people. We are stewards of the grace of God. Do you know you're stewards of God's love? Well, don't tell me. I'm not going to love that person. They're unlovely. Doesn't matter. God says you're to love your enemies. You're to love people that treat you like garbage. You're to love everybody. So as a steward of God's love, we're to do that. Do you see, stewardship is so much more. It's an expression of your relationship with God. Life lived out by your faith. That's stewardship. It entails money too, sure. But I'm just getting down to the basics, man. You got to get down to the basics before you start getting into depth. We define stewardship. It's taking care of somebody else's stuff. When it comes to God and spiritual things, it's more to it than just money. God has given us love, and we're to spread that love to other people. That's why the church looks hideous. Because we're not loving everybody. We're not loving as Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. He knew she was going to be a disobedient bride, but he gave his life anyway, out of love. And that's how we're to be. That's how we're to be. It's a reflection of our relationship with God. All right. So Paul refers here to his call of God as an administrator, a stewardship, a dispensation of the grace. And so that comes from the Greek word oikonomos, or it's actually oikonomion. There's so many different varieties of that word, but it's used in the same context. GodQuestions.com says it this way. It says, "Stewardship defines our practical obedience in the administration of everything under our control. Everything entrusted to us. It is the consecration of one's self and possession to God's service. Stewardship acknowledges in practice that we do not have the right of control over ourselves or our property. God should have that control. It means as stewards of God, we are managers of what of that which belongs to God. And we are under the constant authority of that and as we administer his affairs. Faithful stewardship means that we fully acknowledge we are not our own, but we belong to Christ." Does that make sense? All right. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's my car, and that's my money, and that's my this, and this is my house. And yes, there is some type of, you are the steward of that house. That's not my house. That's what God entrusted to you. But I think sometimes, remember like we were talking about reaction, don't repay evil with evil. Remember how media gets you to react emotionally. And God says, don't react out of emotion. React biblically, not out of emotion. And so that's what happens when we begin to think about some of these things. We begin to think, okay, well, this is entrusted to me. This is my entrustment. So then we take possession of this. Do you see what I'm saying? So even though I'm entrusted with this as a steward of this place, we take possession of it as the owner. Do you see what I mean? Does that make sense to you? No? Some of you sleeping still? Well, hit the other guy outside you. Make sure they're waking up. Maybe we'll do a stand up and turn around. And all right. So here's the idea. It's not that it belongs to us. It's everything belongs to God. We're just stewards of what he's given us. Some people get mad because Dave Ramsey has this $50 billion house or whatever. And okay, hey, that's fine. You get mad. It's all bought and paid for. He paid cash for it. But here's the idea. Whoa, he shouldn't have that kind of house. He's the steward of that house, and he'll have to give an account for it. But what you don't understand is so many things that Dave Ramsey has in his house. How many missionaries come through his house that stay there free of charge? How many meetings and associations he has in his house because it's big enough to house those people and feed them and let them stay overnight and all this stuff? He's using it for God's glory and God's honor as a steward of his household, a steward of God's house. But see, we take possession of things. And so it's okay to say, this is my house, this is my portion God has given me. But don't take possession of it as yours. That's where we get into trouble sometimes. We begin to take possession of things. And we have to understand that God is the one that owns everything. And so, just like the evil servant in our passage here, who was a hypocrite and an unfaithful steward, but just so you know that God owns it all. He ordains it all. Matter of fact, in Proverbs 22:2, he says, the rich and the poor have this in common. What is it? God's the maker of both of them. God is the maker of both of them. Matter of fact, 1 Samuel 2:7 says, the Lord makes poor and he makes rich. He brings low and he raises up. It's not for us. Listen, it's not by our power and our might that you can make yourself rich. It's not by your power and your might that you're going to destroy yourself. Well, yeah, that'd probably be so. But so, if you're operating your business as it should be, sometimes God's going to bring you low. Doesn't matter. You're not in control of it. You're a steward of it. But we take possession of stuff. And see, as the owner, we think that we have control over everything. But as a steward, you're just managing his stuff. Daniel 2, 20 through 21 says that God changes times. He changes seasons. He removes kings. He raises them up. He gives wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Listen, when it comes to stewardship, you are the steward of your time, your talents, your knowledge, your wisdom, love, money, possessions, everything. You are a steward of what God has given you. You ever think about you're a steward of the knowledge God has given you? Better use it wisely. We're stewards of what God has given us. God owns it all. All right, we've defined our terms. I hope I've defined the term. Steward, you're taking care of somebody else's stuff. And we talked about who owns it. We don't own nothing. We're stewards of it. What do you take with you when you go to heaven? So why do we expect that everything here on earth is ours? Money, which is the love of it, is the root of all evil. It's what most wars and most junk is fought over. Possessions and land and all this junk that we don't take with us when we go. So why do we squabble over here? We war because we don't have, and when we get, we don't have enough, and God says you don't have because you don't ask. If you want more, better ask. But here's the issue. Where much is given, much is required. If you're not faithful with a little, you're not going to be faithful with a lot. All right, last one. Number three, who is the Lord of your life? All right, we've defined stewardship. I've tried to explain to you who the owner is. But thirdly, I want you to examine yourself and find out who is the Lord of your life. That word Lord there also means master. So you could say it this way. Who is the master of your life? All right? Now, you can't serve two masters. So stewardship raises this question. Am I the Lord of my life? Or is the Lord Jesus Christ Lord of my life? Basically, stewardship expresses our total obedience to God and Christ. You understand that? A steward is somebody who's in charge of somebody else's stuff. You want to be a faithful servant, a faithful steward? You better take care of what God has given you. So by taking care of what God has given us, we have to obey how He wants us to take care of it, correct? Okay, so it's our obedience. And that's where our life comes into play. When you want to be a good steward, stewardship is expressed in our obedience and our relationship to God. That's how you have good stewardship. And so, when we work on our relationship with God, we'll work on everything else. So the idea is that the Lord here interpreted, talk about is master. And so another way of saying that, who is the master of your life? Are you the master or is Christ your master? Now, everybody would answer that question. Who is the Lord of your life? Everybody raise their hand and go, oh, Jesus is. Jesus runs my life. But that's not the question. The question is, who do you allow in your life to be evidenced of who is your master? That's who we're going to see who the master is. Who is actually evidenced in your life. All right. A Another way of saying it, the master of your life is your obedience. And John talks about this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. He says, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." That's amazing. We need to be willingly to submit to Christ. It's a willing submission. Obedience and stewardship is willing submission. Now, we talked a little bit about this before, but it's just as much as wives are to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. Do you know what that passage means? Most people say, "Wives, submit." And we joke about it, which isn't really funny, but woman, I love you in Jesus. Here's the idea. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord." Now, this is not a Calvinistic verse because I don't believe in Calvinism. God is not going to choose you to salvation. He wants you to willingly submit to him. That's what salvation is. There's nothing I can do, God, to get me to heaven. It's not by works. It's not by my church attendance. It's not by baptism. It is not by anything of me. And so I'm willingly submitting to you, God. I'm willingly saying, "You died, you shed your blood on the cross, you were buried, and the third day you rose from the dead. And I'm placing my faith and trust in that. I am willingly submitting to that." That is salvation. And so that's the same thing for a wife to submit to the husband. You are willingly placing yourself under his authority. The same thing here. You want to be a good steward of God's stuff? You need to willingly submit to Jesus Christ as your master. He's not going to force you. So this is a problem. Because we don't have immediate actions, I can do what I want now because I'm the master of it. So your life will be evidenced by who is Lord of your life. You or Christ. That'll be evidenced in your life. And so we're to manage God's household. It's part of stewardship. And so God owns it all. He gives us his house so that we can manage his goods. And so we need to use his resources for his honor and his glory. That's our whole purpose in life. 1 Corinthians 10:31. We're to give God glory in everything that we do. In everything that we do, we're to give God glory. Let me close with this. It was 12:55 p.m. and the Mayday call crackled through the speakers at the flight service station in Alaska. The desperate pilot of a Piper A-22, a small single-engine plane, was reporting that he had run out of fuel and he was preparing to ditch the aircraft in the waters of the Cook Inlet. On board were four people, two adults and two children, ages 11 and 12. They had departed 2 hours earlier from Port Allsworth, a small community on the south shore of Lake Clark, and they were bound for Soldotna, a distance of about 150 miles. Under normal conditions, it would have been a routine flight. However, the combination of fierce headwinds and a failure to top off the fuel tank had become a lethal situation. Upon hearing the plane's tail number, the air traffic controller realized that his daughter was one of the young passengers aboard the plane. In desperation himself, he did everything possible to assist the pilot. But suddenly the transmission was cut off. The plane had crashed into the icy waters. Four helicopters operating nearby began searching the area within minutes of the emergency call. But they found no evidence of the plane and they found no survivors. The aircraft had been traveling without water survival gear, leaving its four passengers with even less of a chance to make it through the ordeal. Fiercely cold Cook Inlet, with its unpredictable glacial currents, is considered to be one of the most dangerous waters in the world. And it can claim a life in just minutes. And that day, it claimed four. Kirk Nowry adds that these thoughts to the story. He says, "For reasons we will never know, the pilot of that doomed aircraft chose not to use the resources that were at his disposal." He didn't even put enough fuel in his plane. He didn't have enough fuel, and he didn't use the proper survival equipment. Perhaps he didn't even take the time to see the day's weather report. Whatever the case was, He didn't use the resources that were available. And in that specific instance, it became fatal. I wonder how many people have died needlessly like these four people did because somebody didn't manage or somebody didn't use their resources that were at their disposal wisely. I also wonder how many people die without Christ. Spiritually speaking, just from the fact of others being poor stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now he states that stewardship of resources is serious business. And it's God's will that we give it serious attention. This demands that we have the right perspective on our resources. And that's possible only if we have the right focus on the source. Listen, everything God has given us is for His purposes. He has equipped us with His resources to take care of and make the best use of His household. Everyone will give an account, saved or unsaved, doesn't matter. That's why the Bible says at some point that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Master. Whether you recognize that or not, one day everybody will know it. Stewardship is a reflection of our relationship with God. So the question is not, who is your master? Everyone would confess that Jesus is. The question is, what does your life reflect? That's the question. Examine yourself. Who do you serve? Do you submit to the master? Or are you the master? Whoever you submit to will be evidenced by your life. So examine yourself. And the question is, what does your life reflect? Who has become your master? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for our time. We thank you, Lord, that we can continue to reflect upon your truth, your word. Some countries won't even allow church organizations to tithe more than 2.5%. But in this country, we're allowed to give as much as we want. And so, God, we have so much freedom in this country. And so as stewards of your manifold grace and of your household, God, may we use it wisely. So, Lord, we just pray that you would have your way with this invitation. And be with us on this day, Lord, as we continue to give you honor and glory on building our knowledge so that we can be prepared to go into the world and do that very thing of honoring you with all that we have and all that we do. So we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.